As you may have guessed by now, judging from the title, today's podcast episode is going to be about the menstrual cycle, how it can impact fat loss related goals, and how it can impact training related goals. Now, the reason why I'm making this episode is because the potential differences are too significant to ignore. So I feel like being unaware of these differences, then it could lead you to blame maybe a lack of progress, let's say. Maybe you've not made enough progress that you've wanted to make. And it could make you maybe make you blame your lack of progress, maybe on a quote unquote lack of willpower, resulting in you beating yourself up for natural bodily functions, which just isn't fair. So I think this is definitely an important topic to know about. Again, it doesn't matter if it's you that has a menstrual cycle, your partner, maybe your closest friend. So to get stuck in now, many people, primarily those who don't experience a menstrual cycle, think it just consists of one bad week and that's it. Although that is completely inaccurate. And I'm going to be citing a few studies throughout because I was looking into the scientific research surrounding the subject of the menstrual cycle. I might butcher some of these authors' names. I'm going to say the surname, Laurie, in 2022. The menstrual cycle is not just a period. It's a chain of activities in the brain, ovaries, and uterus linked to hormones, the chemical signals sent through the blood from one part of the body to another. So the entire process typically lasts for about 28 days, starting on the first day of the period and ending on the last day before the next period begins. So what are the different phases of the menstrual cycle? Good question. So actually, before I get stuck into this section, one thing I wanted to mention was that I actually wanted to make a YouTube video on the topic of the menstrual cycle, basically speaking about the same thing I'm speaking about now before I recorded a podcast episode, is because I feel like it's quite good to have visual examples whilst I'm speaking. So by this, it would be good to, for example, have a visual example of maybe the different hormones that are maybe a bit higher and a bit lower during the different phases of the cycle. And that would be really handy to see, but that's not a luxury right now. What I would say, if you're listening to this podcast episode after, let's say, maybe March 2023, then I'll link visual examples in the show notes. So like, I'll link my article because by then I would have published it, the menstrual cycle article, and you can click on that and you can look at visual examples at the same time as I'm narrating through this, basically. But otherwise, you know, if you don't have the visual examples for now, then you're just going to maybe have to make do with my explanations and maybe re-listen to this more than once if necessary. Anyway, what are the different phases of the menstrual cycle? So let's zoom in a little bit onto each section. So the different phases are, number one, the follicular phase. This is roughly the first 2 weeks. And then actually in between that first phase, which is the follicular phase, and the last phase, which is the last 2 weeks, which is called the luteal phase, there's something in between, which is called ovulation. And that lasts a few days between the follicular phase and the luteal phase. And this is the most fertile phase as well. So let's go into more depth within each of those 4 weeks, so the follicular phase and the luteal phase. So follicular phase, week one, which is the first week of your cycle. So the follicular phase is generally the best time to take advantage of how your body and hormones are working regarding fat loss and resistance training. Now, this is because the follicular phase is the ideal time to be in a calorie deficit, because unlike the luteal phase, which is the last 2 weeks, cravings generally aren't as high. Although I'll speak about that in more depth later. So the body can also typically tolerate more volume when it comes to strength training, as well as normal levels, quote unquote, normal levels of body coordination and a lower injury rate as well during this first week. So this makes the follicular phase, again, which is the first 2 weeks of the cycle, the ideal starting point. As long as you're not the, you know, I'll start on Monday type of person and you're always putting it off. If you are serious about starting, then the follicular phase, week one, can be a good time to start. Now, let's go into the follicular phase, week two. So the second half of the follicular phase, which is week two of your cycle. So the second phase of the cycle is similar to the first with the same benefits. For example, appetite is lower when compared to the luteal phase. Again, if your goal is weight loss, that's obviously going to be a good thing. And the ability to handle more volume in your training, etc. So it's also worth mentioning an exciting study that I actually found by an author called Sung. The study was done in 2014. It had a total of 20 females. Listen up to this. This is quite interesting. So a total of 20 females, an average age of 26. All participants had no prior experience with resistance training. And all participants had regular 28-day menstrual cycles, give or take 2 days. And this is obviously all important information to know before you're conducting a study. Now, participants trained 4 times a week for 3 menstrual cycles, doing single leg presses, so a leg press, but 1 leg at a time, and single leg squats, or otherwise known as pistol squats. Each participant trained 1 leg 8 times in the follicular phase and twice in the luteal phase. And then after 3 months of consistently training 4 times a week, the outcome showed that the leg trained 8 times within the follicular phase gained more strength and increased muscle cross-sectional area. So all of this, whilst total volume was matched on both legs. So bear that in mind. Now, that could be a coincidence, of course, although you will find that the other studies on the menstrual cycle and resistance training generally do point in a similar direction as well. So there was another study by Wikström Fritzson. Sounds like it could be Swedish. If not Swedish, definitely Scandinavian by the sounds of it. Done in 2017. And in that study, there was 2 equal groups of 19 women performing high frequency leg resistance training for 2 weeks of each menstrual cycle for 4 months. In the remaining part of the cycle, they completed leg training once a week. So I hope that made sense. So to clarify, the ladies performed high frequency leg resistance training for 2 weeks of each menstrual cycle for 4 months. So 19 women in one group were performing it in one half of the cycle, and then 19 women in the other group were performing it in the other half of the cycle. Okay. And then in the remaining part of the cycle, they only just done a leg session once a week, just to be doing something at least. So overall results show that although everyone completed a total of 48 workouts, so again, volume was matched, the group who performed most of their training volume in the follicular phase, again, gained the most lean body mass. So interesting, isn't it? Now let's go more into more depth about the luteal phase. Covering the luteal phase, again, that's the last 2 weeks. So the luteal phase, I'm going to say week 1 and week 2. Now let's start with the luteal phase in week 1. So to continue on the subject of resistance training, which is what I was just speaking about, studies show that a slight drop in coordination may occur during the first week of the luteal phase. And handling free weights requires more coordination. Switching to resistance machines could be ideal during this time. So like leg presses, quadricep extension machines or shoulder press machines, etc., etc. Now, when it comes explicitly to nutrition and fat loss, the hormone progesterone, pretty sure I pronounced that correctly, increases during this phase too, meaning that cravings and appetite tend to be higher. And that's just a naturally occurring thing. For example, an exciting study by Plinner in 1982, so this one is obviously a little bit older than the other two, measuring food preference and caloric intake in 41 females. So decent group size, show that significantly more calories were eaten on average within the luteal phase, so the later 2 weeks, which was just over 2,000 calories daily, compared to the follicular phase, which was just under 1,800 calories daily, and that was just a normal occurring thing. So the ladies were just naturally eating more during the luteal phase than the follicular phase. And another study by Barr in 1995 also echoes a similar theme to that first study, where 42 women showed an average consumption increase of exactly 305 calories more within the luteal phase. So again, they're naturally eating more during the luteal phase, the last 2 weeks of the menstrual cycle, where appetite and cravings tend to be highest. So 305 calories again. And most of the science tends to point in that direction, so it's obviously not a coincidence. So what does that mean? Good question. This means that fat loss related goals can be tougher to stick with during the final 2 phases of the menstrual cycle. Now, you can think, okay, that's really frustrating to hear, but I feel like it depends in which way you look at it, because there are ways to work around this, which I'm going to cover that later. But before I go into that, I'm going to speak about the luteal phase, week 2. So I was speaking about week 1 there. You know, it is important to mention that, you know, a lot of what happens in the follicular phase week 1 and what I say for week 2, they do cross over quite a bit. Same for luteal phase week 1 and week 2. It crosses over quite a bit as well. So I guess this is just me expanding more on the luteal phase overall. But for the final week of the luteal phase, the same average increase in calorie consumption is also witnessed. So again, they cross over quite a bit. The what tends to happen in each phase. But so just so I'm not repeating the nutrition findings, I'm going to go into more depth about the resistance training side of things for the luteal phase specifically. So to expand on the studies that I mentioned earlier by Sung 2014 and Wilkstrom Frisson 2017, the noticeable differences between the follicular phase and the luteal phase in terms of strength and improvements meant that the final week of the luteal phase could be the ideal time to drop weight and volume and aim for more like of a deload week. And when I say drop weight, I mean the amount of weight that you're lifting at the gym within this final week of the menstrual cycle, because it's likely a weaker period, quote unquote, for lack of a better word, on average, with more of a focus on resistance machines perhaps being a good idea during this final week. And if you're wondering what a deload is, put simply, it's just a deload week is when you reduce the amount of volume at the gym that you do by doing fewer sets and reducing the weight by about 50% across all exercises. And this just therefore helps you recover for the next 2 weeks of your training. So that's just something that you can potentially do. You don't have to. And actually, but you know, one thing I do want to mention, because I was going to start speaking about or give you examples of how you could use practical examples of how you'd potentially work alongside your menstrual cycle for both fat loss and strength training. But before I go into that, one thing I do want to mention about all the studies I've been referencing is that, remember, this is what's seen across the average. So this is the average from the studies. Any study result is obviously it's always going to report an average. But you have to remember, because studies may report that this is the likely scenario when looking at averages, you are an individual. You are not an average. And I think that's just very important to bear in mind. Anyway, so let's go into practical examples of how you'd potentially work alongside the menstrual cycle for both fat loss and strength training. So now, at a quick glance, it's easy to think that the follicular phase is what's good, so the first 2 weeks, and that the luteal phase is what's quote-unquote bad. Because, you know, obviously I mentioned the easier gains during the follicular phase, lower appetite, which is again more helpful for fat loss. And then obviously during the luteal phase, appetite increases, coordination goes down, injury rates can be higher. But here's one thing I want you to remember is that, you know, obviously all those studies show that, again, this is what tends to happen across the average. The menstrual cycle serves many other vital purposes outside of this article's podcast. This podcast's discussion, I should say. I was thinking article because that's what I mentioned earlier. Obviously, this isn't an article. So it's not, obviously, your menstrual cycle isn't just around resistance. It's not based on resistance training, of course. Now, you can still make progress, and you're about to learn ways to work alongside your menstrual cycle to keep progressing. And now, let's speak about fat loss first, because I'll give you practical examples for both fat loss first and then resistance training second. So, fat loss first. If we take into account the findings from Plinner from the study in 1982 and Barr, the study from 1995, and work alongside the average 300 calorie increase in appetite, then it could be a good idea to spend the follicular phase in a calorie deficit, and then once the luteal phase begins, shift to maintenance. And I know what you're maybe thinking. You might be thinking, oh, but I don't want to spend 2 weeks in maintenance. I want fat loss progress now. And to that, I say, here's what you need to remember. A diet you can stick to for 2 weeks every month trumps a diet you can never stick to. Because with the calorie increase, chances are your consistency levels will also increase and you will have a much easier time making long-term progress. And you know, those 300 calories could literally come in the form of 3 pieces of fruit, for example. Now, another game changer for how you monitor fat loss could be how you track your data. And by that, I mean, you know, scale weight, measurements, progress pictures, etc. So, for example, it's likely that right now you're comparing your weight on Monday and then expecting it to go down on Tuesday, which is a terrible idea because fat loss doesn't happen that quickly. So instead, what if you compared your scale weight in averages and compared it month to month? For example, you cover your average scale weight for the first week of your luteal phase in month one to your average scale weight for the first week of your luteal phase in month two. So doing that means that you're comparing your scale weight and monitoring your progress within the same time between each cycle rather than at random times. For example, the poor idea of comparing week two of your luteal phase to week two of your follicular phase. That's just going to be a lot less reliable. So let's go for practical examples of how you would work alongside your menstrual cycle for resistance training now. So firstly, as mentioned before, it could be a brilliant idea to switch to more machine-based exercises or start a deload. Another great option yet to be mentioned is that focusing on consistency goals for these 2 weeks is also a brilliant idea. Because Putting your focus and energy towards your daily and weekly behaviors, such as maybe a daily step goal, hitting your calorie and protein targets, getting in free workouts weekly, eating X amount of fruits and veg a day, to name a few, is a good idea, I think, because the outcome of whatever fitness goal you set for yourself will likely be dictated by how ruthlessly consistent you are with what I've just mentioned anyway, or at least similar. So if we wanted to speak about more specific example of these goals, examples, I should say, plural, is being consistent maybe with, let's say, a 7.5k step daily step goal, or accurately track your calories by 100 calories, give or take, or work out 3 to 5 times weekly, or being 85 to 95% consistent with the three things I've mentioned by the end of each month. So that's pretty much it from practical examples of how you could work alongside fat loss and resistance training. Now, there is one more thing that I want to mention before finishing, and it's a potential issue with all of this. And you might be thinking, like, what is Leo speaking about? Bear with me. So, firstly, it's not hard to imagine that it could be very easy to let the stages of your cycle dictate everything you do regarding fat loss and training. Although, as mentioned before, you're not an average, you're an individual, meaning there will be individual variances in how you respond. It could also be easy for people deemed to have authority. So anyone who has who is deemed to have authority within the fitness industry, I should say, to sell menstrual cycle based training plans, telling you that during your luteal phase, you should be training X way, then during your follicular phase, you should be training in Y manner, which would be an effortless money-making scheme for unethical people. But here's the thing. What if you're in week one of your follicular phase, aka when you're supposedly at your strongest, and a workout plan is telling you to max out your lifts, perhaps. But then you also had a poor night of sleep yesterday, or you've had a super stressful day at work, with the plan now causing you to ignore the other signs your body is giving you purely because you think you have to train in a specific manner at a particular time of the month, just because a plan is telling you to. Do you see where I'm going with that? So instead of getting super caught up with specifics, ask yourself this question. How do you feel right now? Do you feel good? Do you have energy? Because yes, studies and reports can and should be used as guidelines. There's no doubt. But they shouldn't go beyond just guidelines. These guidelines could, for example, work very well 80% of the time. But if on the other 20% you've been sleeping terribly, maybe you lost your job, or you're not eating well, then you certainly shouldn't be trying to max out lifts, for example, because nothing is as important as how you feel right now and how you personally react within your cycle. So that overrides anything and everything else. Anyway, to summarize, the trends are very evident across the many different studies, which you do well to take into account when it comes to your own training, nutrition, and fat loss goals, e.g. you're likely to get stronger and make more gains within your luteal phase, as well as generally being hungry within your follicular phase. But as said before, use these as valuable guidelines because yes, your hormones go through cycles, but the complexity and the context of your life changes daily. So ultimately, your best bet is to become your own scientist and see what specifically works for you regarding the combination of fat loss and resistance training during your menstrual cycle. So potentially even use a menstrual cycle tracking app such as Clue or Flow to see how you feel at different points in your cycle. I know those are quite popular apps, so definitely consider using an app. And before, you know, one thing I want to mention as well is that, you know, when you're maybe being conscious of all of this, specifically in how it's impacting your resistance training and maybe fat loss goals for the first time, so your menstrual cycle, fat loss goals, resistance training goals, and you're trying to be very conscious of all of it together, there's likely going to be a phase where at first you go through some trial and error. But that's okay, because with time, you will start to notice trends and patterns, and eventually you will have a good idea of what does work for you. So overall, to finish off, I do want to say I'm not a menstrual cycle expert. I'm an online personal trainer, keen to learn more about how I can help my Keras Online members and potentially even you. So if you want to inquire about online coaching with me at Keras Online, I'm going to leave an inquiry form in the show notes of this podcast episode so that you can fill that out. And just, you know, filling out that form doesn't necessarily mean you're going to start. Of course, we still want to see if we're a good fit for each other. And we could potentially hop on a Zoom call now. This podcast episode, I think, is coming out on the 4th or the 5th of January. Until the 8th of January, if you're listening to this, and you're listening to this in the first few days that it's come out, there is 50% off your first full month of working with me at Keras Online. But that's only if you fill out the inquiry form, I should say, before the 8th of January. Now, if you are listening to this after the 8th of January, then that offer is no longer there, but the opportunity to work with me still stands. So the Inquiry Film, again, it will still be in the show notes of this podcast episode. Otherwise, I do hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. If you found it useful, do share it with a friend. I'm sure you know at least one person who will benefit from listening to this. At least one. And if you know that one person, share this podcast episode, because surely if you found it helpful, then you want to spread this knowledge. And you'll be helping both them and me, so you'll be helping two people at the same time, minimum, and that'll be amazing. Okay, so thank you again very much for listening. Share this with one person at least. If you want to share with more people, then of course I'm not going to stop you. Drop a follow on this podcast, on the podcast show if you're not already. Do give it a rating, and otherwise take care, and I'll see you around.